There's something about a grandchild that is not found by children. Look on the side of evil. Look at Ochos. Ochos had a very holy child, Chizkiyahu. But who was Chizkiyahu's child? Menashe. So the evil it skipped a generation. It went from the grandfather down to the grandson, from Ochos was a Rasha. Chizkiyahu was one of the greatest tzaddikim, the king, the greatest tzaddikim that ever lived, Tzidkiyahu. In his generation, the greatest miracles happened. Sancheriv was unable to conquer Yerushalayim in the zechus of Tzidkiyahu, in the zechus of Limud HaTorah. But after Chizkiyahu came Menashe and Omoin. The evil skipped one generation. You find that very often. You find that even in our own lives. You look at certain people. You look at a grandchild. Look at a grandparent. You see a certain common thread. But yet the father, for some reason, in the middle, it's something different. It's very, very interesting that the Radak makes that point here regarding Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's evil went to his grandchild Belshazzar. But in the middle between the Nebuchadnezzar and his grandchild was Evel Meroidach, which is not so bad. And the proof is, look, he actually dug up the bones of his father, Nebuchadnezzar, dragged him in the street, and he restored the arch enemy of Nebuchadnezzar to a position of dignity. Okay, this is something which is interesting, which we have to come back to at some point in time. Let's now go to the next thing that you probably don't have. So let me right now at this moment very quickly take a picture of this. I'm going to post it online. Post of you. I should have done this before. I apologize. I forgot to do this. Let me quickly take a picture of this piece of text. Okay. Okay. Okay, let me put it on the screen now. Share. Okay, I hope you can see this. Okay, the tzaddik. If you can't see, try to, if you have a phone, use your fingers to enlarge it. I know it's a little slanted because the page curves, but it's better than nothing for those who don't have a text in front of them. V'tzadik, avala tzadik, enikein ki nafshoi shefolo u'mefachei tamid mi'akel yisbach. A tzadik is different. A tzadik has a humble neshama and is always afraid of Hashem. L'fichach defo yichye bu'nase be'kel yisbarach. He will live in his faith. Now this is something that is very important. Radak reverses the words. Radak reads Yichye be'emunaso. That's not what it says in the pasuk. When I read the pasuk, I translated the pasuk as Vitzadik. Let's say Vitzadik in this context was we learned according to Rashi was Yehoyachin be'emunaso. In the zichus of his emuna, in that merit Yichye. He will merit to live in the future. That's how I translated the word. And I gave you a whole story yesterday from our chaver, our member over here in the kollel of Baruch Harowitz. I gave you a story to illustrate that point, that in the zechus of emuna, a person in the future will live, will have merit to survive where others did not. That is not what the Radak says. The Radak says something that is extremely profound and is very common in many of the Sifrei Musa. And his words are, he takes this pasuk, he reverses the words. Yichye be'emunasai. He lives now in his emuna. Again, the simple translation is a person who expresses faith, acquires merit, and 10 years down the line, or 20 years, 50 years, 100 years down the line, merits in the merit of expressing emuna has siyata d'shmaya to live where other people in the same category were not so fortunate. No, that's not what he says. Now, in this very moment, what gives a person the strength, the courage, the ability to continue to wake up in the morning and deal with difficult situations, it is the emuna. The emuna now is what is the energy that supplies a person the ability to live with peace and serenity in a matziv of difficulty. That's what the look. This is what the Radak is doing. With tzaddik aval tzaddik indicating ki nafshe shufolu mfachit hamim yikol smarach lefichach. He reverses the words. Yichye, he lives now be'emunasai bekel yisparach. V'yinotzel meharo shetove l'rasha, he's saved from the rod which comes upon the rasha, v'eluhem yisrael, and this refers to klal yishol shegolu bavolim tzidkiyahu, shenichne'u ba'golus, they were humbled in golus, fully avru, avodizara, v'heminu bekel yisparach, they had faith, uchashakavash koresh bavol v'ner kakastim, when koresh overpowered the Babylonians and he killed the Kastim in the Talmud Baal Shetzar. When Daniel, the night that Daniel interpreted the writing on the wall, Yisrael shahayu tzadikim chayu be'emunasam bokel yisparach. V'nitzlu, they were spared mecherev ha-parsim, from the Persians, v'yatsu megolus bavel, they left golus bavel. So there are two major differences between the Radak and Rashi and everyone else. Number one, according to the Radak, we are referring here, the tzaddik refers not to an individual, it refers to the entire Klal Yisrael that went into exile with Tzidkiyahu. We're going 11 years later. According to Rashi, the tzaddik is the king Yehoyachin who was exiled 11 years before Tzidkiyahu. And Rashi only mentions one tzaddik, Yechoniah. Radak appears to disagree. Radak puts the word tzaddik, translates the tzaddik as a collective noun. We're now referring to one person, we're referring to the goyim. Who were the goyim? We don't know. I don't know if there's an exact number. I don't know what the exact number is, but many people were definitely killed at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. We know that I think almost 1 million children were killed by Nevuzar Adon right before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Like 900,000 young people were killed by Nevuzar Adon in order to pacify the bubbling blood. And then there were the exiles, those who went into Galus with Tzidkiyahu at the time of the Churban. Those people lived for 70 years. They miraculously survived 70 years until the time of Koresh, and they were given permission to go back to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And it says that when they went back and there was a celebration, the Zikanim were crying. The people that were survivors and saw the Mikdash in its glory, the time of the Bayis Rishon, and were still alive, they must have been very old. For them to remember, they had to be at least 10 years old, I would imagine. And now it was 70 years, it was more than 70 years. They must have been almost 100 years old, 80, 90 years old at least, these people. And when they saw the young people celebrate, they realized that they don't even know what they're celebrating. They have no idea what it was like, the glory of the Beis HaMikdash, what it was in the time of the Bayis Rishon. And this was a far cry, the building of the Bayis Rishon was a far cry from what was in the Bayis Rishon. But nevertheless, this is what it refers to. Okay, so that these are two different differences. We're referring to Tzidkiyahu, now referring to Yechoniah, and it's just very powerful, the subtle difference of the change of words, not be'emunaso yichye, but yichye be'emunaso. How does a person wake up in the morning knowing that he doesn't have what to eat, he doesn't have what to do, how does a person exist in a difficult matzav? You need emuna now to exist. That's very different than a person who has money in his pocket. He has parnasa, he has a family, he has everything he possibly needs, and he has a nisayon in life. He has a nisayon. His nisayon is, should I work on Shabbos? Should I not work on Shabbos? He has a nisayon, so if he passes the nisayon and he doesn't go to work on Shabbos, so then, oh, he puts away money in the bank, spiritual money in the bank, yichya, 50 years from now, he'll have, his family will have siyata d'shmaya. Okay, that's one interpretation. In the zuchus of emunah, you'll have what to eat off years later. Or, it's much deeper. It's much, much deeper. In a difficult matziv, you need emunah just to get you through the day. And that's the beauty of the Radak, how he reverses the word. If you wouldn't pay attention, we wouldn't even appreciate this. I think it's interesting because over here, the editor, for some reason, he reversed the word. He put the words in bold. And he's going to do it again at the end of the next piece, where the words are in the other order. Let's see the next piece. Upala. Upala, or Michal told me yesterday that it means in the Judaica, they translate the word upala to be fluffy, full of fluff, full of puffed.
Puffed up or inflated.
Inflated ego. Inflated. Okay, so over here, where did that come from? The Judaica. The Judaica appeared to take it from the Radak. He didn't take it from Rashi.
In fact, the word itself, upala, almost sounds like inflated. I don't know. It's a little bit of a stretch, but okay.
I don't know. Let's see. By the way, do you see on the screen the Radak? Is this working? Are you seeing on the screen the?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. If I push this button, let me just right now. What do you see? I just pushed the button. What do you see now? The same thing.
Yes.
Okay. No difference. All right. Just want to see. All right. We'll see. Okay. Next, let's go. With Tzadik, the next entry. Upala. Upala is in gavas halev v'zadon. Upala is arrogance. The rebels, they arrogantly defied Moshe Rabbeinu, and they decided that they're going to ascend the mountain and conquer Eretz Yisrael against the will of Hashem. Here the Radak, he quotes his brother. Radak is very fond. He's very loyal to his family. Very often quotes his father, and here he quotes his brother, and he calls his brother my Rebbe, the Rabbi, my Rebbe, Achi, my brother, Rebbe Moshe, Zichron Levracha. He must have passed away at this point. Perash, Hine Upala, Min Ofel Vo Vachan, which Rebbe Chol taught me yesterday means a rampart. These are fortifications that are built against a wall to conquer the wall. Shumivtsar Gavoya. It is a fortress. It's a tower. Omar mi shelo yashra nafshei boy upala kolaymar tosim atzma beoifel u vachan lihi sagev sham ibnei ha'oyev v'loy sashuv lokel v'loy tevakesh mimenu lahatzila. A person whose neshama is lacking yashus, he believes his destiny, his security is in his own hands. And he enters a fortress to protect himself, does not bother to pray to Hashem. It's like today, if you're following the news, when this whole matzav began, they wrote articles about the super rich. The super rich, they got on their private jets and they went to islands in remote parts of the world, summer homes, Manhattan, anyone that has a summer home in the Hamptons, or somewhere out in the country, in this country, they got out. They left their apartment in Manhattan because it's not safe. Because if you live in Manhattan, you live in a building, you can't even go in the elevator. You can't even go in the elevator because the elevator is contaminated. There are other people, so they packed up and they left. I'm assuming that's the responsible thing to do. No one has any complaints against people, but anyone who can leave, left. And with that comes a false sense of security that your life is in your hands. No one is safe. The poor people who don't have a private home on an island, some remote village in this world, they cannot fool themselves in thinking that they can spare themselves. They have no choice but to immediately pray to Hashem. That's a little bit of Musar over here. What he's saying over here is the people who do not have any yashrus in their eyes, they enter their fortress. But a person he puts himself into a fortress, does not need to go and hide himself in a fortress. Notice here he puts the order correctly. He in his emunah he lives. The yonasam tier game ha ra shi aya the wicked biliboy in omrin lace kol elaine. I don't need any of these things. Vit sadikaya al kushtehoin yiskaimon. He lives in Kushtehoin is he's translating Kushtehoin to mean emuna. Kushtehoin yiskaimon. In their emuna do they live? Okay, lace called Elaine, a rasha. Not sure what the targum really means. The rasha.
I mean, the word kushta we know means MS, and. He's translating emunaso in the sense of
MS. Very good. You're saying something very, very good. And what does he mean over here? What does he mean over here in the beginning of the pasuk? Let's discuss that. What does he mean in the beginning of the pasuk? In the beginning of the pasuk, he translates Yodasam Tergim Mahar Rishaya Bilipoin Amrin. In their heart, they say Lo Yashra Nafshay Boy. They don't need. What does he mean here in the targum? Lace called Elaine. Lace Kol Elaine does not need these things. Does not have these things. I'm not sure what he means by that. But the tzaddik, he lives with the word of emes. So he, the targum, is saying very important, something very, very important. The targum translates the word emuna. Emuna is a very difficult word to translate. We're going to have over here some of the mafarshim. We'll discuss this in much more depth. Maybe we'll get back to the targum. We'll see from the mafarshim. I don't remember. But we'll... The Targum is translated, the word emuna is, the shorish is emes, truth. Emes. Emes is in contrast to lo yashra be'enav. Now let's, this is a very, very good example. There is a halacha that when a person writes a Sefer Torah, he is required to do what's called, do what's called sirtut. Sirtut means you take an awl and you etch with a ruler a straight line into the parchment. You etch a line, a permanent, you press down the parchment with a tool in order to guarantee that when you write the words on the line, they should be written perfectly straight. And the source for this halacha is emes. It says by the Megillah, l'kayem, I don't remember the pasuk, it says the word emes. Maybe someone here will remind me of the pasuk in the Megillah. It says the word emes by a Megillah, and from there Chazal learn by a Megillah, by a mezuzah, it needs sirtut ki'amito shel Torah. The word emes is used by Chazal as a code word. I don't have the exact words, the exact drasha, But the word MS is used by Chazal as a code word to teach us that a document, a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, each one has a different set of rules of how much Sirtut they need. Do they need Sirtut every single line? Does it only need Sirtut on the top line, on the bottom line? But we,
Divrei Shalom
VeEmes. Okay, so it says by the Megillah, Divrei, words of Shalom VeEmes. From the word MS in that pasuk, Chazal have a drasha that a Megillas Esther, when it's written by a Sofer, he must do Sirtut, he must etch a line into the parchment, just like Amita Shel Torah, a Sefer Torah. We have a halacha l'Moshe Sinai that a Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to write one letter in a Sefer Torah unless you first have Sirtut. If you ever watch a Sefer, I used to watch a Sefer, we used to have, my father Shul used to have, we have old Sefer Torah, and every so often Rabbi Schertzer, Rabbi David Schertzer would come to fix the Sefer Torah, and when he did, he had to sometimes erase a letter. The letter was so damaged, before you can add new ink, you have to erase the old ink. When you erase and you scratch out the old letter, the old ink, more often than not, you damage the Sirtut, the line that's etched into the parchment. And before you're permitted to rewrite the letter, he would have to redo the Sirtut. That's not common. When you watch, when a person doesn't know any halacha, like me, and you watch a Sefer fix a Sefer Torah, you expect him to take out a kolmus, the kolmus with the ink, and you dip it into the ink, and you just fix the letter that needs to be fixed. And then suddenly you see the Sefer, he's not taking out the kolmus so quickly. First, he takes out a razor blade. And he starts scraping away. Wait a minute, we asked you to come here to write, not to erase. So that itself is bizarre. First he erases, and after he erases, he takes out a ruler, and then he takes out an awl, and he makes a straight line, he etches a straight line into the parchment to repair the line that has been rubbed out because of the razor blade. And then he writes the replacement letter, he rewrites letter that belongs there. That is called Sirtut. And if you do not do Sirtut, the Sefer Torah is puzzle. The question is, are you required to do Sirtut in Tefillin? And are you required to do Sirtut in a mezuzah? So I believe a mezuzah, you're only mechuyev the top line. Tefillin, I don't think you're mechuyev at all. We're machmir, we do it anyway, we do Sirtut. What about a Megillah? So the Chazal Darshan, the fact that it says Divrei Shalom VeEmes, the word MS teaches us that you must do Sirtut in a Megillah, just like Amita Shel Torah. Torah is called MS. Torah's MS, not Abisaychenu. Torah MS Kinevi Al Timkar. The code word for Torah is the word MS. Now, what is Sirtut? Sirtut is to guarantee Yashrus, that it is straight. So isn't it amazing that the word MS is associated with the word Yashar? If the word MS teaches us one should do Sirtut, which means it should be a straight line, and the correct word for a straight line is Yashar, Elokim Osa Eso Adam Yashar, Vehem Bikshu Chishbonos Rabim, Yashrus. Now, when you go to the beginning of this pasuk, when we describe the Nebuchadnezzar, it says Hinei Upila, he is arrogant, lo yashra. He lacks yashrus. He lacks a degree of straightness. Lo yashra nafshaboy. In contrast to lo yashar comes the tzaddik be'emunoso yichya, which the Targum translates as MS, and MS, we know from Chazal, is associated with a straight line, the opposite of Lo Yashra. Yeah?
Rabbi Levine?
Yes.
If I could just try and simplify that, I think what he's saying is that the Russia is delusional, doesn't understand reality, while the Tzaddik is the realist.
Emuna. What is Emuna? What is emunah? The Targum translates as the shoresh of the word emunah is emes, is the world of reality. Okay, that's what emunah is. That's the real world. The more popular word makor for emunah is a nurse. Kasha yisa ho'oimein es bino. Hashem carried us out of Mitzrayim like a nurse carries and cares for a child. Vayihi oimein es hadasa. Mordechai, he raised, he nursed Hadad. There's actually a medrash that says that Mordechai mamash, literally he nursed her. That's a bizarre medrash. But it means that he raised her. So the typical source, we open up the Sifrei Musar and they talk about emunah, the first thing you're going to see is they're going to tell the shoresh of the word emunah is aleph, mem, nun. It is a nurse. A child, an infant, has no daigos. An infant knows that when it cries, its mother will be there in a moment and will feed it. The same way an infant has that faith, that simplistic emuna pshuta in its mother, because of it, it's so naive. It's naive and doesn't know from anything else. So too, likewise, when we relate to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the simple emuna pshuta like an infant has in its mother. That is the typical approach to understanding the inner meaning of the word emuna. The Targum does not go with that approach. The Targum says that the real shoresh of emuna is just the aleph and the mem. The sof, the sof emun, there is no sof in the inika shoresh, and the sof is more of a suffix, which through grammar is added, and the real shoresh is emes, which represents, like Rav Mechol just said, the world of reality. This is the real world. Reminds me of a story, not a story, but just of a statement. They used to say this in yeshiva, in order to encourage us to learn, is when you're in yeshiva, when you're in high school, and you're learning, the Rebbe is trying hard to teach you a daf gemara. So what do we all say to ourselves in high school, elementary school? I can't wait to get out of here, to graduate high school and get a job, go to college, get a job and make money. I can't wait to go enter the real world. The high school in front of the Gemara, this is not the real world. Learning about an ox that gores a cow is not the real world. The real world is money, is industry, is being a lawyer, being a doctor, is making a lot of money. How much longer will it be until I graduate and I can go out into the real world? And then what happens? Finally the day comes, the person graduates, he then goes to college, and he studies and he gets a job, and here he is. He's now in the real world. Then he realizes, you know, it's not so real. When I get a promotion, then it will be the real world. And he gets the promotion. He becomes the manager. And he works his way up. If he's working in law, he becomes a partner. If he's a doctor, he becomes the head of the department in a prestigious hospital. And then he realizes, you know, it's not the real world. I'm missing something. There's something that I don't have. And then he makes more money, and he becomes very prestigious, and he becomes the head of the firm. He's the executive director of the entire law firm. Or if he becomes head of the hospital, he wins a Nobel Prize, and he says to himself, you know, it's not the real world. There's something fake about all of this. And then he realizes, you know what the real world is? The real world is the Daf Gemara that talks about the axe that gores the cow. Whoever saw an axe? Did you ever see an axe before your whole life? Do you even know what that it is? An axe gores a pregnant cow? Tell me, you know the difference between a male cow, and a female, a male and a female? You can tell me if it's pregnant or not? You know about these things? We never even seen these creatures here in Flatbush. But yet, there is something that is so satisfying. There is something that is so real about a Daf Gemara. Every word is emes. Every word has, it rings with reality. The reality of emes, it satisfies a person's neshama. So the Rebbe would try to tell us, instead of live your whole life and go through this chad gadya of imagining that this is not the real world. You're learning a piece of Gemara. It's boring to you. You have no desire to concentrate. Your mind is focused on the real world. The Rebbe told us, I'm telling you, you're going to go through this cycle. You're going to leave here one day. You're going to go out into the world. You're going to make money. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. I've been there. I've done it. It's not the real world. You're going to discover that out there in the street, it's the Alma de Shikra. It's the world of Sheker. The only true reality, satisfaction, truth that rings, that glows in this world, is the truth that comes out of a Daf Gemara. So, Vitzadik be'emunoso yichya. Emes. And Michal hit the nail on the head. He said the word emuna, Targum translates, is keshoit. Emes is emes. A tzaddik lives in the world of reality. Emuna, it doesn't appear that a Daf Gemara is a world of reality, but it really is. Living in a world relying upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead of saying koichi v'oitzem yodi osli sachay lazeh, is much more real, is real relative than imagining that the money I have stashed away in my Swiss bank account, which is no longer there because they've cut that out, but I don't know, today the new Swiss bank accounts are cryptocurrency. The money you have stashed away in all of your cryptocurrency accounts, that's going to save you. It's not going to save you. That's not the real world. The tzaddik be'emunoso yichya, the tzaddik in his faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is something that is not even tangible. Yet, that is the real emes. That's the real emuna. Okay, so yeah, we have these two things. And then, by the way, it's very interesting that I was reading a hesped on the Novominska Rebbe. I posted for you online. I posted this very, very beautiful video. If you have a chance to take a look at it on the Kollel chat, yesterday was Rabbi Breuer's yard site, and from Washington Heights. And before the Novominska Rebbe became the Novominska Rebbe, when his father was alive, he got a job as the Rosh Shiva of Breuer's, and he lived in Washington Heights. And he became very close with the Breuer's community, very close. And in fact, they wrote this in the article that it was poshut, that if he would not have taken his father's position, if he would not have taken over his father as the Novominska Rebbe after his father passed away, he would have been the leader of the Breuer's community. They would have taken him without a doubt. Even though he really wasn't part of that community, but he already was there for so many years and the respect that they had for him was so great, he would have certainly been elevated to lead the Breuer's community at the very, very top. But his father passed away and he chose to take over his father's shtela as the Novominska Rebbe, and then he ultimately made his own yeshiva. But in any event, one of his favorite mottos that they write about this over and over is he would always tell people, choose MS for the sake of MS. Choose truth just for its own value. Not because you're not gonna get in trouble, not because of ulterior motives. Choose MS just for the sake of MS. A person who's a liar has a very difficult life. Trust me, I know firsthand. You always have to keep cheshbon. If I tell you a lie, and then a week later I have another conversation with you, I have to remember all the lies that I told you last week in order to keep it up. And then when I meet the next person, I have to remember the lies I told him. A liar always has to keep cheshbon of the lies. There's a long history. And it's a very big burden. It's a very big burden to carry with you, you know, the whole history, to keep the charade going. But if you live a life of truth, you don't have that baggage. You don't have the baggage of always trying to remember the past lies so you shouldn't get into trouble. And it's
my father always said, the best religion is the Reina MS.
There's no baggage. If you live with MS, there's no baggage. It's easy. You travel light in this world. People go, they travel on a plane, somebody, you watch them, they check in their baggage. Wow, they have more possessions with them at the check-in counter than people have in their, and they have at home. So many pieces of luggage. Where are you going already? But if you live with MS, there's no baggage. It's easy. And here it says, V'tzadik be'emunasa yechi. A tzadik lives with MS. He lives in a world of reality. He lives without any calculations. He lives a life of yashrus, yoshar, a life that's straight. And according to the simple interpretation, he has blind faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, equivalent to the emuna that an infant has in its mother that will be there for him to feed him whenever he is in need. Okay, now let's take a look at the Malbim. The Malbim on page is on Pasuk Dalet on the previous page. Let me see if I can take a picture very, very quickly. I don't want to waste time taking pictures all day. Yeah, I should have done this before. But let's see how quick I can do this. Here we go. Okay. Back to our regular. Okay, let's see the Malbim. The Malbim on Pasuk Dalet. Hine upala lo yashra nafshay boy. Mi shenafshay asher boy lo yashra hanefesh ahit tispael v'hischazek l'chashev kitzin v'litchayk esakets. A person whose nesham is not yashar. He is working very hard. He's making calculations. The word tispael means he's at work. His mind is not at rest. The sischazek, he's strengthening himself lechashev kitzin v'litchoyk esakets, and to push away the true end. I don't know exactly what that means. There's some type of contradiction over here in this expression, I guess. And he goes on to say, hoydi aloi ki rabim yikashlu v'apilu la'alois b'koyach v'toykef l'hovi yesakets. Many people, the Malm is taking this pasuk Dalet, and he's disagreeing politely, respectfully, with the Kadmonim, with the Rishonim, with Rashi, and with the Radak, and also with maybe someone that was not so much before him, the Mitzudos, And he says that this pasuk is not discussing Nebuchadnezzar. The pasuk is discussing is a continuation of the previous pasuk. In the previous pasuk, we learned about the coming of Mashiach. Im kol ze achak afal pi sheyisma mea, im kol ze achak eloi bechol yoim sheyavoi. It is clear beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Rambam, when he wrote the Yud Gimel Ikarim, and which we say after davening, and when he writes about the coming of Mashiach, his choice of words were extracted from the pasuk Gimel in Chavakuk. Im Yismama Chake Loi Kivo Yavo Lo Yacher. Cannot deny the fact that that's where those words of the Animamin are taken from Pasuk Gimel. But the Malbim goes further. And then we mentioned that we had this long discussion about the people in the Maimer Chazal, the people who are Mechashev Kitzin, who make calculations when Mashiach will come. We discussed there, the Gemara quoted three different sources, three different Tanoim, Amoroyim, that made calculations when Mashiach will come based upon Psukim in Tanakh. And then we cited this pasuk that says, the other opinion that says that it's categorically forbidden to make such calculations, and like what it says over here, Kivo Yavo Lo Ya'ach, and we discussed that last week. Here, we're continuing in that theme. According to the Malbim, the people who break open breaches, the peritzim, a peritz, the person who breaks open a breach in a wall, Jews who are renegades, they feel that they demand that the Mashiach has to come at a certain point in time, and if it has not come at that point in time, it's over. And there's a change of plan. Is he referring to the Christians? They probably, from all of the people in this world, they're probably the ones who are most prominent in this regard of making calculations of when Mashiach should come. And their ideology is all built on the principle that Hashem, the Zman for Mashiach should have come. And the fact that it did not come means, apikorsis, that Hashem has rejected us. And now he has exchanged us, has replaced us with another nation, with Esav. They are the B'nai Paritze.
And I was listening to, he was interviewing somebody.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the Shoah and the museums and his mother and the little aunts and da-da-da-da-da. Then it said, it's Leon Goldenberg. So I told
Leah.
Yeah.
Hello. Yes, my
gorgeous. Oh. Okay, let's continue. Uvnei paritze amcha yinasu lehamid chazoin v'nichshalu. Okay, so the Bnei paritze amcha yinasu, they elevate themselves lehamid chazoin v'nichshalu, to elevate themselves. To establish a vision, meaning their vision of Mashiach, v'nichshalu, but they will stumble. They have stumbled. Sheyamdu kama nevim mizuyafim v'yig remu kama ro'os liYisrael. Okay, the nations of the world have established many false prophets and have caused enormous harm for the Jewish people. V'sheyamdu rabim. There are many people that stood up and they acted with arrogance to calculate the end of days. That caused them to leave the fold. The Christians, okay, and then unfortunately afterwards there were many people, many, many different generations where people made calculations, and when it did not work out, people were very, very disappointed. Okay, look what happened with Shabsai Tzvi and many other people, wannabe Shabsai Tzvis before him and after him. Okay, those were not necessarily people who made calculations in Zman, in time, but we learn from them a disappointment. When people put their faith in a person or in an event or in a time, and that does not come, it does not arrive, it's very disappointing and it leads to despair. I personally felt it was very irresponsible of people saying before Pesach that Mashiach is for sure coming, Lil Pesach, has to be. How could it be? There's a pandemic. It means only one thing, Mashiach is coming. How do you know that? In Jewish history, there have been many things that have been a lot worse, and Mashiach didn't come. Why are you so convinced to say with such confidence that Mashiach is coming? Because Mashiach, we have a tradition, Mashiach will come Lil Pesach. I'm not sure how accurate that legend is, but unfortunately, we were disappointed. So it's one thing to have hope that a Zman is an auspicious time that Mashiach could come, but to declare with definitiveness that it must come is a very irresponsible approach to Yadus. V'tzadik b'munosoy yichya, tzadik asher yosho nafshay boi lo tepal nafshay l'chashiv kitzim l'hamil chazoyin. A tzaddik who is Nisham is Yosha, loy tepal nafsho l'chashev kitzim l'chamed chazon and to establish a chazon. Rak yichye b'munosai v'yamin ki yesh yoyim l'hashem, there's a day l'hashem, v'yidoyim l'hashem, v'yischoy l'lo, he is silent and he yearns for Hashem. Okay, this is a very important principle, just to have plain, simple emuna, like I saw online yesterday. It really, really disturbs me to no end. What they do online is they have a story of a person who went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky a year ago, and he asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky for a bracha. He has not had children in many, many years, very, very long time, and he's in a lot of pain. He very much wants to have a child, and supposedly, I didn't see the whole video in great detail and have patience, supposedly Rav Chaim Kanievsky told him first he should do something, and he did it. He did what he told him to do, and nothing happened. He didn't have a child, nothing happened. So he came back to me a year later, and he asked him, what should I do now? I did what you told me, grow a beard, and if you grow a beard, you're going to have a baby. Chaim Kanievsky is the Gadol Hadar. He's the Gadol Hadar. But I really believe that the story is taken, and he had a baby. He grew a beard, a little teeny beard like what I have, and he had a baby. Now, I don't doubt Rav Chaim Kanievsky told him to do this, and I have no doubt that Rav Chaim Kanievsky believes that this is a zechus, but to attribute the baby, the way it's presented in the Jewish media, with the comments, the way it's presented, that Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, you grow a beard, and if you grow a beard, then you guaranteed, 100% without any exception whatsoever, it's going to happen, guaranteed. Most people can't even guarantee that we'll be alive in 5 minutes from now. But this is guaranteed. You'll live a whole year, everything will be fine and good, and you're going to have a baby because you grew a beard. What? This is Judaism? I don't doubt that Rav Chaim Kanievsky said this, and Rav Chaim Kanievsky is the holiest person in the world. My complaint is to society that takes this suggestion that he made and presents it as a cause and effect that is etched in stone more than any other thing that we're supposed to do in this world. Well, why didn't you grow a beard? I mean, there's no halacha that you have to have a beard. You're allowed to shave. All the Gedolei Yisrael, many Gedolei Yisrael permitted l'chatchila people to shave, whether you shave with an electric shaver or with a depilatory I mean, what about the Taryag mitzvos? It's not one of the Taryag mitzvos to grow a beard. And growing the beard is the reason why that is what brought into this world a child. This is not Judaism. Sorry. V'tzadik be'emunosoy yichyeh. Judaism is emuna in Hashem. Sometimes Hashem says yes, sometimes Hashem says no. That is Judaism. Judaism is not, this is the way the world works. You go to Rav Chaim, he has the 614th mitzvah, you grow a beard, guaranteed you'll live, be well, and have a child. It doesn't work like that, Rabbi Yisai. And I'm not Chas Shalom saying anything about Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I'm just saying is the way the media twist and they pervert this and they present it and they prey upon naive, foolish people is horrible. It is a violation of everything that we learned today in this shir. Like I told you last week about the person who told me that if you buy a letter in the Sefer Torah, in the new Sefer Torah from the Baal Shem Tov, the miracle Sefer Torah, you're going to be healed from Corona. Now, you know, they finished. So now they're writing a second Sefer Torah. I didn't know that. I know that the Baal Shem Tov said to write two Sefer Torah. I thought he only said to write one Sefer Torah. Now, the Baal Shem Tov says to write another Sefer Torah. And you know, how much commission are the people getting for the second Sefer Torah? The whole thing is such a... And how do you know that it works? Because this fellow said to me, there were two people who bought letters in the Sefer Torah, and guess what happened? They got better. So that is proof that if you buy a letter in the Sefer Torah, you get better. It's not Judaism. It's tzadik be'emunasai yichyeh. Okay, let's learn a few more minutes. Let's take a look at the Mamore Chazal. There we have over here, we have from the Gra. Let's learn now a little bit of the Mamore Chazal. So let me quickly take a picture of this Mamore Chazal. Here it is.
Are we going to have the same chazal as we had in Micha?
Possibly. Here we go. Let's see. It's Sadig Amunosa Yichya. Darash. Rabbi Simlai, Sheish Meos Ushloish Eshrei Mitzvahs Nemru Lola Moshe, 620. Okay, Sheish Meos Ushloish, well, here is 613. Okay, 600, they were the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach, or the Zayin Mitzvahs B'Derabon, but over here we have the classic number, 613. Nemru Lola Moshe, Shloish Meos. V'shishim v'chomesh lavin. From the 613, we're going to break it down into 365 and 248. 365 lavin. Kiminyan yimay sachama, according to the solar year. Ubasayim v'arboim v'shmoina, 248. Asay k'neged evorov shel adam, corresponding to a person's limbs. Now notice, before you even go further, There are two parts to this world. There is the world and there is man. Man is a participant in the environment. We live in this world. We need this world to survive. We need to breathe oxygen. We need water. We need sunlight. We need this world. But the world needs us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world for the purpose of man. The last thing to be created in the 6 days of creation is Vayomer Elokim Naaseh Adam. The world needs man. We are partners, the earth and man. The Torah is the blueprint for creation. In the Torah, there are mitzvahs aseh and mitzvahs lois aseh. The mitzvahs lois aseh, what not to do, corresponds to the earth, to the environment. The mitzvahs aseh correspond to man. It's interesting is that the environment is always telling us what not to do. Man, a human being in this world, is always giving instruction what should be done. Man is positive. Nature is negative. Okay, we live people that are very involved in the environment. All the environmentalists and people that are so concerned about global warming, many of these people, that they're usually much, much, much more concerned about the earth, about the world, than they are about the good and welfare of a human being. Okay, there are many people out there that are very worried about the tiger in the Bronx Zoo that was tested positive for corona. They're much, much more concerned about the tiger than they are about an elderly person lying in an ICU in Maimonides, because they care about the world, but they don't care about people. The world, these type of people, they're negative people, because the Torah is the blueprint for creation. And in the blueprint, there are the positive mitzvahs and the negative mitzvahs. The positive mitzvahs correspond to man. Man is meant to be a positive force in this world. The earth, the 365 days that the earth rotates around the sun, which represents the environment, the existence of this world, is negative. It's a statement of what not to do. Okay, it's a very powerful thing to focus on. When you focus on people, you're positive. When you focus on the world, on the environment, on nature, you're negative. It's a different approach to life. The optimist versus the pessimist. The cup, it's half full or is it half empty? What is your focus? If you focus on man, that means there's a positive element. Mitzvahs aseh. What does Hashem want from you to do? If you focus on teva, you're focusing on don't do this, don't do that. It's an unhealthy form of existence. Now, we go further. What happened? Along came Habakkuk. He skips the whole Gemara. Okay, he skips the whole Gemara. The Gemara goes through all the different madrigals to go down. Here he just cuts to the chase. Came Habakkuk. This is the famous, famous Gemara. Ve'hemidun alachash memar v'tzadik be'emunaso yichya. Isn't it amazing? We learned over here in this pasuk. This pasuk today is basically the bottom line. When everything is said and done, when you go through kol ha-Torah kula, you know, every pasuk in Chumash and the Gantz Tanakh with Rashi in the Targum Baal Peh, and you know, every daf and shas, and every siman Shulchan Aruch, and every Rambam, and every Tor, and Beis Yosef, you know, everything there is to know about Yadus. The end of the day, it all comes down to the three words that we learned today. V'tzadik be'emunaso yichya. A tzadik, he lives with emunah. Like how the Radak learns, he basically reverses the words, as we do so often in Enach. It's v'tzadik yichya be'emunaso. The emunah itself is what sustains a person's will, his desire to live in this world. Okay, that's what it all comes down to. This has to be discussed more. I have to go find some more mafarshim on this to elaborate, because this is so fundamental. Next chazal. Let's just do one more chazal before we call it quits. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, kol makabel lav. Next chazal, kol makabel lav, olav mitzvahs achas ba'amona, kedai hu Shetishre Olav Ruach HaKodesh. A person just has to focus on one mitzvah. Your Olam Haba mitzvah. Hashem gave Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es Yisrael L'Fikach Hirbe Lohen Torah Mitzvahs. By giving Klal Yisrael so much, so many opportunities. It has to be a person will there'll be something in the Torah that will resonate with you, touch your neshama, and you'll focus on that, and that will be what you will go with. Kol ha-mekabel olav mitzvah achas ba'amona kedayihu shetishro olav shuruch ha-kodesh shekein mutzinu ba'avaseinu shemushchar amona. In the zuchus of amona, shemini avasein ba'ashem zachu v'shar saleim ruch ha-kodesh v'amru shira v'chein yoishafot. That's what it says there. V'yamein ha'am. By the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisohu. The Hashem says to Moshe when they come to Kriyas Yam, so the Rashi is in the critical Rashi. Moshe Rabbeinu gets up before Kadosh Baruch Hu and he complains and he says to Hashem, "What shall we do? The Egyptians are on one side, the Yam is on the other side." So Hashem says to Moshe, "Matitzak elai, daber el bnei Yisrael v'yisohu." Rashi on that pasuk says, "Kedai hu hemuna sheheminu bi." I remember when you came to these people not that long ago and you told them, Pokoid Pokaditi, and the Pasuk records the response of Klal Yisrael to your mention that Hashem has remembered you. Vayamein Ha'am. They believed. They believed in you. They believed in me. They believed in their ancestors that there would be a Geula. It's Kedai, that moment, that single moment of where Klal Yisrael expressed emuna b'Hashem, that I should now do for them miracles, despite the fact that they're complaining, Hamibliyin kavanim b'Mitzrayim l'kachtan l'mus b'Midbar. They're saying here, they're speaking here with the ultimate chutzpah. They're behaving in a way that is despicable, and yet Hashem says, they're just acting out. They're like children. They're acting out. It doesn't matter. Kedai hu emuna sheheminu bi. It's enough. It's fitting in the merit of that small dosage of emuna that they had faith and confidence in me when you came to them that I should do for them now the greatest miracles. And indeed Hashem split the yam, they crossed, and through that they were zeicher to say shira. V'chein yoheshafad oimer la'am heminu b'Hashem elokechem v'sei omenu. Yoheshafad said to the Jewish people, have faith in Hashem. Hey aminu b'neviyah v'hatzlichu, be successful. Yoheshafad also was mechazik Klal Yisrael by telling them that in order to survive, you need emuna. Emuna is what will get you through the day. So another pasuk says, "Einecha halay le'emuna." Your eyes shall lift themselves up to have faith in Hashem. Here's the main pasuk: "V'tzadik be'munaso yichyev." V'chein at moitzi she'en goluyos miskanses ela be'emuna. And he writes here that Mashiach will only come with emuna. V'tzadik v'emunas yichyeh el v'emunah v'shnemar itim b'levonon kala, itim b'levonon. And the pasuk concludes there. Okay, it mentions over there. I'm not sure what he means by that pasuk over there. It's called Shirashurim, but v'omer v'erastich li b'emunah v'yadat es Hashem. Can we never put on tefillin? We say v'erastich li, I have betrothed you with emuna. And the last pasuk is v'tzadik b'emunas yichyeh. Okay, he cites here many psukim. I'm certainly the collection of these psukim, each one of these psukim, without doubt, is certainly describing a different dimension of emuna. Emuna is extremely complex, diverse, has many facets, many dimensions. This medrash is a great starting point because it's selecting very specific psukim. And it's obvious that the selection of these psukim alludes to very specific dimensions, different dimensions and elements of emuna. Today, emuna has become a very, very big topic. Years ago, in the bookstores, in the Judaica bookstores, there were not all that many sefarim on the topic of emuna. Today, every Judaica store has a whole wall of books written specifically on the topic of Emunah. It's a very, very big topic, and it's a sign of the times. It's a sign that we're living in Ikvus of the Mashiach. We're coming very near to the Geula, because Chazal say that Emunah, it's in the Zechus of Emunah that the Geula will arrive. And the fact that we find people naturally inclined to have a much greater, deeper appreciation of Emunah indicates that we're coming to a point in our history where this will play out. The Emunah will lead to our Geula. All right, we'll take a short break. I want to learn about a little bit about Sfiras HaOmer. And then at the end, I want to talk about today, Yoim HaZikaron. Today in Klal Yisrael, many people, many of us are observing a day of Zikaron for Kedoshim who gave up their lives for us, for Eretz Yisrael, for Klal Yisrael. It's very important to discuss some of these matters, and we'll do that after the break. First, we'll do a little bit of Hilal Halacha on Sfiras HaOmer, and then we'll wind down with Yoim HaZikaron. Okay, we'll take a break for 2 minutes.
Shmuel, where's your background? Where's San Francisco? Mayevsky?
I was taking a walk, listening while I was walking.
Oh, okay. We can see your neighborhood. See how it looks.
Yeah, I was sleeping a little bit later today, so I had to run out to do a couple of things while I was, so I was listening while I was walking. Okay.
Phil, how's your family? Phil?